A new report from the Federal Reserve shows total credit card debt is rapidly approaching the $1 trillion mark. Personal finance site WalletHub found that consumers repaid more than $31 billion of their credit card debt in the first quarter of this year. It's a big improvement over last year, but still, consumer debt is a problem. In this edition of On Your Money, we'll get tips on how to live in harmony with our credit cards and use credit to our advantage. I'm Kate Archer-Kent in for Joy Cardine. Financial planner Kevin McKinley is back next week. Beverly Harzog is with us. She is a credit card expert, consumer advocate, debt coach, and author of the book, The Debt Escape Plan, How to Free Yourself from Credit Card Balances, Boost Your Credit Score, and Live Debt-Free. Beverly, welcome to On Your Money.
Thank you, Kate. I'm happy to be here.
Well, credit cards are always a hot topic on this show, and despite the fact that many of us live with them every day, there's still quite a bit of mystery around them. Why do we not understand credit cards so much?
You know, that's a great question. And, you know, credit really isn't intuitive. It's something that you really have to make the effort to learn. It's more complicated than, you know, I wish it was. Not a whole lot of parents spend time with their kids talking about credit and how to use it and how not to use it. And so we've got a lot of kids getting into college that don't really understand. We've also, you know, right now got a lot of college students that are very averse to credit cards. And, you know, I think partly that's because, you know, they were, you know, in high school during the Great Recession, and they saw their parents struggle. Maybe they had heard it that their parents had credit card debt, and they just kind of want to stay away from that. It just sounds very frightening. And I understand that. It's the kind of thing where it's a tool, but you have to understand it and feel very empowered and know how to use it properly.
Well, I read you were in debt in your 20s. It was very
yes.
scary. And now you're seeing these 20-somethings who are saying, you know what, I don't even want them in my wallet. But
right.
there is a flip side to that. What's the flip side?
Well, the flip side, Kate, is that you really do need to have a good credit score during your life. You'll save money in so many areas. You'll get a better APR on a mortgage when you decide it's time to buy a house. You'll get better car loan rates. But what's really important is that you'll get lower premiums on your health insurance, life insurance, car insurance. It really just impacts so many areas of your life. And credit cards, yeah, they can be evil, you know, if they're not used responsibly. And that's what happened to me, you know, back in my 20s. But if you use it as a money management tool and build a good credit score, that will help you save money the rest of your life in so many areas.
Well, you eat, sleep, and breathe credit. What questions do you tend to get asked the most? What are the questions, and how do you answer them?
You know, that's a great point to bring up. I get a lot of questions about secured credit cards. I have a blog. A lot of my readers are trying to rebuild credit. Some trying to establish, but many are trying to rebuild, and it's fun watching them rebuild their credit and go from secured credit cards up to, you know, the some of the top cards.
To watch them do that?
Oh, it's fun to watch them increase their score, yeah, because they can stay in touch with me, you know, and
okay.
they'll... Yeah, and they'll write, you know, updates on my blog so everybody else can see, you know, that there's hope. Hey, yeah, I can increase my score. So the questions I get the most really are about how to increase your credit score.
How do we do it?
You know, it depends on what stage you're in your credit life, really. You know, if you're young and just getting started, you know, there are several ways to do this. You could get a secured credit card. I rank those on my site, and I don't have affiliate relationships, so it's really honest, honest reviews. You can do that to help improve your score. You can become an authorized user on your parents', you know, one of your parents' card if they have excellent credit. Now, if you're in the game already, let's say you've had credit for, you know, 10, 15 years, but you had a bad setback, because sometimes you have a low score, and it's not because you were irresponsible, but maybe you had a job loss. That's happened a lot in the last 10 years. Maybe a job loss or a medical problem, you know, to where you're, like, maxed out on your credit cards, and that can really lower your score. You know, the best thing to do is when you have some debt like that, pay down your credit cards as much as you can. The absolute most you should have in terms of a credit utilization ratio, and That is a very important thing. It's the amount of credit you have used compared to the amount of credit you have available, okay? You want to keep that ratio below 30%, but if you're trying to improve your score, here's an insider tip, keep it lower, as low as 10%, and that could be hard to do. So as you're going through this, you want to pay every one of your bills on time. I mean, that's about 35% of the FICO score. So that's very important. All your bills, not just your credit card bills. You know, even if you miss your rent payment, that can go on your credit report, and that will be included in the FICO score. So you have to, you know, pay your bills on time and keep that ratio low. Those are the two main things to have a foundation for a good credit score.
So a hypothetical here, Beverly, you are saving for a couch or a mattress. You've saved that money. Now you're going to go out and buy it. You say, hey, I've got the money. I'm going to go put it on my credit card because I can get points. I can rack up benefits in some way, shape, or form, depending on your card. But you're going to get close to your limit on your credit card. What do you do in that situation?
At this point, you're going to make a few strategic decisions. Now, I have used my credit card, my rewards card, particularly it's an airline card, and I wanted the miles on big purchases like that. So that I have an interest-free loan, basically, during the grace period. That's the amount of time that you don't have to pay interest. And then I pay it in full by the due date on time. I get a load of miles that way, but I do know that my FICO score has probably gone down a little bit while I've done this because of the utilization ratio. You know, I broke that rule. It's okay to do that if you're not planning to, like, get a mortgage in the next 3 months. So it has to be strategic. You have to think ahead. What else do I need to do over the next 6 months? Am I trying to get a car loan? Trying to get a mortgage. If you are planning to get more credit soon, you don't want to do that. So it has to be very, you know, strategic, like I said. It's, you know, you think ahead and you do it for the miles or the points or the cash back, and then you get back on track. And in the meantime, you know, it takes maybe a couple of months for your credit score to kind of balance back out again to what it was. So during the next 3 months after you do something like that, let's say even 3 to 6 months, just be aware that your score is going to go down a little bit if you do that.
We're talking all things credit cards with Beverly Harzog. She is our guest on Your Money, and she is the author of The Debt Escape Plan. You can join in this discussion about credit cards, 800-642-1234. Are you dealing with credit card debt? When did it start? How are you digging yourself out of it? Share your experiences, 800-642-1234. You can post your tips on using credit cards on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Beverly, summer vacation season, road trips, a lot of activities planned that cost money. Generally, is this a good time of year to think about our credit cards, open a new credit card?
You know, Joy,
no problem.
It depends on what you're planning to do and how you're planning to travel. You know, if you're going to be driving somewhere, yeah, it's a fine time to open a credit card. You know, people are, that has gas rewards, but now people are, you know, they think that they're going to get that sign-up bonus, like, right away, and that can take a month or two. So if you are planning to open a credit card with hopes of getting the rewards to help you pay for your vacation, the best time to do that would be probably around March or April. But that doesn't mean you can't do it now. You can get the sign-up bonus. Maybe you can't use it right now, but maybe you can use those rewards during the holidays or maybe another trip in the fall. So it's okay to open it now, but I wouldn't have expectations that you can use that sign-up bonus right away.
You keep your eye on these benefits and these bonus cards. Are there any new novel ones out there that we should be on the lookout for these days?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that I love that credit card issuers have done in the past couple of years is add the FICO score. I mean, that's not a reward, but that is just, it is such a great feature. I wanted to bring that up. You know, it's a great way to track your score. And
on your credit card statement each
on
month.
On your credit card statement, that's right, every month. So I just wanted to bring that up. That's a new trend I'm seeing where they're trying to help the cardholders have better credit. And I love that. I love that. In terms of just rewards, I'm seeing a lot of new credit cards that are moving away from the categories, like the rotating categories where you have to sign up, every 3 months to get your rewards. And they're great rewards. They're like 5% cash back on a certain amount of specific categories. And I'm seeing a lot more cash back cards that say, okay, you get like the Citi Double Cash, you get 1% when you buy and then 1% when you pay that off. So I'm seeing, a lot of that. That makes it a little bit easier for the consumer. I actually like the rotating cards like Discover and Chase Freedom, but even the Chase Freedom now has the Chase Freedom Unlimited where you get just a certain amount of cash back percent across the board. But I do like also, if it's easier for consumers, they're going to be able to take advantage of the rewards. And that's the whole point of the rewards card.
Is there an average amount of cash back that is out there on credit cards? What is that threshold or we should be looking for on the amount of benefits from a credit card?
It really depends on what you can qualify for. Okay, so it's great to know what your credit score is. I always say trying to determine what your credit score is right now is like trying to catch the wind. It's kind of in flux all the time because things get reported at different times of the month, and so it's hard to actually pin it down, but you can get an idea of what your credit range is. So if you're in the good range in a FICO score, that would be 700 to about 749. Excellent would be 750 plus. So your score is going to determine how great a rewards card you can qualify for. If you have excellent credit, you're probably getting offers in the mail. Okay, so one way you can tell what your credit score range is what offers are you getting in the mail? Are they for cards that are for good credit, more like the Chase Freedom, or for great credit like the Chase Sapphire Preferred? So you can kind of get an idea just by looking at your mail. But in terms of rewards to look for, thresholds, some of these do have limits. I mentioned the rotating cards and 5% cashback bonuses, which sounds awesome, doesn't it? Particularly when it's on things like gas and groceries.
Right.
There's a $1,500 limit on that. So what you really have to do, if you're going to do rewards cards, you want to pay them on time, okay? Do not, in full, don't carry a balance because these APRs tend to be a little bit higher. And you want to really understand your rewards program. There are all kinds of gotchas in the fine print, so you want to be very careful and read it so you understand. And I'm all for, making a profit from your cards. I do that myself. But you have to be very careful about
read the fine print. Yeah.
Right.
We're talking with Beverly Harzog this hour on Your Money. She's helping us become more strategic with credit cards. The site WalletHub projects that consumers in the U.S. will add about $60 billion in new credit card debt this year, ending 2017 with a total balance over the $1 trillion mark. There are 12 zeros, by the way, behind that one. Beverly Harzog is helping us here. The Debt Escape Plan is her book. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Are you dealing with credit card debt? What are your tips? When did your credit card debt begin? How did you get out of it? Share, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network.
Swipe the stripe on my credit card. It's a magnetic bar. Slide it through the machine to see if my credit is clean. If it is, I'm in business. The salesman gives.
Only 1 in 9 Americans have a credit score over 800. Are you one of those with a coveted credit score? How did you get there? Join in the discussion, 800-642-1234, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Credit cards can make it all too easy to spend money we don't have, and that can lead to a mountain of debt. But credit cards do make life easy. We're understanding how to walk this pocketbook tightrope with credit card expert Beverly Harzog on this edition of On Your Money. Financial advisor Kevin McKinley is away this week. I'm Kate Archer Kent in for Joy Cardine. Do you feel burdened by credit cards? Do you maximize credit card incentives? Tell us your story. 800-642-1234. We'll go to the calls now. Lindsay in Oak Creek. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. I had a question about company-specific credit cards. I'm 28, and I was always one of those people that was like, I'm never going to get a credit card. I'm never going to be in debt. But then twice now I've fallen for, at the cash register, you get 30% off every time you come in the store. You don't have to pay it back for 6 months. And as I have a home and I'm trying to build up my credit and my belongings, I've become tempted by that, and I'm not going to use it at the gas pump or whatever, but I'm wondering if that's a bad practice to get into.
If you're getting an offer to have, like, to buy something and then 6 months, and then you've got 6 months to pay it off, you're going to have to be very, very careful, because there's usually deferred interest involved here. So if you don't have it paid off during that 6 month period, you might have to pay interest on the whole amount. Okay, so that's very tricky, and that's something that will be at the fine print, but you have to find it. It's going to be very tiny fine print. So just be careful of that. Be sure that you know you can pay it off before that that six-month period ends.
And are there any other rewards besides for retail cards, being able just to use them at that particular store and mm-hmm. perhaps getting some type of discount?
Oh, absolutely, Kate. The thing I don't like about the store cards are that they have high APRs. I mean, like 25-26% sometimes, maybe even higher. So you have to be very careful. If this is a store where you shop very often, you can really save money with these cards, because you're going to get heads up about sales and things like that. But you have to be careful now. You've got to have your budget with that particular credit card and know that you have the cash flow to pay back whatever balance you have at the end of the month. And you can't make impulsive purchases with this card. And, you know, that's sometimes kind of a trap here, because it's a store you like, most likely. So you can be kind of tempted with that. But just be careful not to carry a balance. And in terms of, being in line and then getting the credit card when they offer you the percent off.
The solicitation,
Right. I can't with a clear conscience say that's ever a good idea, because you don't know what's in the fine print. You haven't even read it. So you need to check that first and make sure, if there's an annual fee or what the rewards program actually is. Is this a good thing for you? So what I suggest is, this especially works well during the holidays, but it can be used now because there's so many sales coming out, different times of the year. If it's a store you like, get online, find their credit card, and do a little research ahead of time, And if you like the card, you're in line, they offer, hey, get your 30% or whatever, and it's a card you can really use, and you know what you're doing. So, go in an empowered way.
Yeah, make a sound decision. Credit. Lindsay,
right.
Thanks so much for your call. Let's now go to Clinton in La Crosse. Hi, Clinton.
Hi, I'm a single dad with primary placement of my daughters, and I own my own home. And I recently had to have a new window, picture window, put in my home for energy efficiency. So I took advantage of some of the tax credits and things like that. But I wasn't able to get any other home improvement financing other than through a Home Depot card. So if there's any tips or tricks that you would have to help, help me pay that down a little bit better, or any other ways that, because I'm going to need in the future some other windows in my home. So any tips or tricks? And because I'm a single dad, it makes it difficult to pay for things, because it's one income. So any advice you would have would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, Quentin, I understand. I mean, that's a problem so many people have now, trying to cover emergency expenses like that when they happen. With the Home Depot card, if you've gotten financing for that, like the 6 month or 1 year period, you need to take a look at your cash flow and see if you're going to be able to pay that off within 6 months. Now, if not, see if you can cut expenses somewhere just for that period of time. I mean, you don't have to give up certain things forever, but just get really, really tight with your budget while you try to pay that off, so that you can minimize, the damage there. If you get to the point where you can't pay it off, there are other, there are options like getting, a personal loan, consolidated loan, which might be a lower APR. But first, see if you can just you know, fix this by, you know, kind of manipulating your budget a little bit. And I understand you're a single dad. That's hard to do. But just take a look at that first and then do the very best you can with payments until that financing period runs out.
Could he transfer the balance to a card with a better APR? But are there some pitfalls there?
He can if he has a great credit score. Now, the balance transfer cards, you know, they're great if you have excellent credit.
Okay.
You get like a 0% APR for anywhere from 12 to 21 months, I think is the highest I've seen right now. But you have to have excellent credit. So, Quentin, if you have excellent credit, that's also an option.
But what if he searches for that card online, finds it, and applies?
Oh, that's fine. But I suggest that, you know, he needs to know what his credit range is, because
yeah.
you don't want to just apply for cards you can't
right.
possibly get approved for, because that makes your FICO score go down a couple points, anywhere from 2 to 5 points every time you apply.
Well, let's go back to FICO, because there's been some rumblings that FICO mm-hmm. scores could be getting a boost with no action needed from credit card users. What's going on with FICO?
Okay, I think it's the Vantage score.
Oh, okay.
That has been doing that.
Okay, the Vantage score. All right.
Yeah, and it's what they're going to be doing is offering a break on certain things. They're going to start tracking your history. So for those who, you know, rack up a lot of rewards on their card, maybe they've also got a high balance because they use their card strategically that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked earlier about how the high balance can make your credit score go down. So you have to be very careful about that. But with the new Vantage score, they're going to kind of give you a little bit of credit if you've got a history of paying it off. So that's an advantage right there for a couple of people. But FICO last year also came out with a new score that gives you a break on medical debt, which is terrific.
Hmm.
But the main thing I want to bring up here is that with the new credit scores, 90% use FICO scores. Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen some information that Vantage scores are becoming more popular, but we're not quite there yet. The thing with the new scores is that lenders find a score they like that seems to work with their particular business, and that's the score they like to continue using. So it's not a situation where, you know, they're all going to say, okay, you know, FICO 9 is out yet, or the new Vantage score is out, and suddenly start using that. It takes a little time. So, you know, the articles I've seen on all these new scores, I just caution people to remember that when they apply for credit today, or even 6 months from now, the lender might not be using that score.
Ah.
Okay, so it's not an instant benefit for anyone.
Well, Clinton, thanks so much for your call. Let's now go to Marvin in Menominee, who has a question.
Good morning, Kate, and good morning, Bev.
Morning.
Good morning. My question is, do you get a black mark, or do you lose points if you go through your credit report and identify those cards that maybe you got as a one-time deal, 40% mm-hmm. off if you sign up for a card, and then never use it again? If you mm-hmm. if you go in and cancel all those accounts, does that show up as a negative on your report?
You mean if you close the account?
Right.
Yeah, okay, that's a great question. And in general, I say don't close credit card accounts, because that's part of your history, and the available credit there is also helps you with your credit utilization ratio. So this is also something, I've used the word strategic a lot, and so this is also a strategy, time to use some strategy. If you decide that this just isn't a card you need and it has an annual fee, if there's some reason why you really feel like you need to close the card, look at the cards you have and think about if there's another card you need, okay? You can get a new card first and then close that one and kind of offset, you know, the difference in the available credit and the impact on your ratio, which impacts your score. So that's one way you can go about that.
I see. So you you want a higher available credit amount there to lower your percentage of
That's correct.
Credit.
Yes. And another tack, too, is with the cards that you currently have, if you've got great credit and you've got a stellar payment history, you can ask to get a higher credit limit. And that adds to your available credit, which can help offset the one that you want to close. So, there are always exceptions to the rules. So, like I said, in general, I don't like closing credit cards. But if you've got a compelling reason or it's costing you money, then just be a little strategic about it if you can. Otherwise, be prepared to take a little bit of a hit, right after you close it. In terms of the history stays on your report up to about 10 years. So you won't have a great impact from that factor of the FICO score. So that's the good news. But, think about whether or not you need to apply for credit any time in the next few months. And if you do, close that card after you get what you need currently, okay?
Well, Marvin, thank you so much for calling in with your questions. And we're talking right now with Beverly Harzog on this edition of On Your Money. Beverly is the author of The Debt Escape Plan, How to Free Yourself from Credit Card Balances, Boost Your Credit Score, and Live Debt-Free. And so that is our topic today, credit cards, 800-642-1234. What are your questions? Some credit card companies have loosened their standards for lending recently. What does that mean for the offers you're getting in the mail? Let's talk credit cards, 800-642-1234. Beverly, we're in the thick of home buying season right now. People are applying for mortgages. Banks are looking at people's credit. How do you get your credit card ready when you are preparing to go get a mortgage?
Great question, Kate. One of the best things you can do is target that credit utilization ratio. Get it as low as you possibly can.
So that means you got to, perhaps maybe use your debit card that goes directly to your or use cash or just lean off of your credit cards?
If you can. And, you may have to just do it just for a short time. Do it for, about 3 months before you apply for that mortgage to see if you can get a better rate. I mean, just something, going from, a 35% ratio down to a 25% might be enough even to bump you up from good credit to excellent credit, which is going to give you a much better rate and save you thousands, over the coming years. So, use your cards very judiciously during that time. And, using your debit card is a good idea, but I still say don't use your debit card online. Always use a credit card if you're buying something online.
Is there a strategy if you know you are going to be going to get that mortgage and you have perhaps several cards or one or two cards, one is carrying a balance? Do you first work on getting that balance down, or what would the strategy be if you want to get your best mortgage rate?
Okay. The FICO score looks at the ratio, the balance amount, overall. Okay, let's say you have three cards, you have a ratio for overall of them, but it also looks at individual cards. So if you still have an individual card that has a high ratio, target that card, get that card down. Do whatever you can. So you need to have, for the best score, 10% on each credit card. That may not be possible, but at the minimum, have it below 30% before you apply for a mortgage.
Let's go now go to Jane in Sugar Grove with a question. Hi, Jane.
Hi. You asked for somebody to call in who had over 800 score.
Yeah.
And that's me most of the time until I use my Best Buy card. So this process, I was thinking, because I'm out walking the dog as I listen to you guys, it's taken me about 9 years and to get here. And I've done most everything you said, but what I did differently that you haven't talked about, well, I did close all those credit cards that, when you walk in the store, they'll give you 30% off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I froze my credit, so I wasn't tempted by any of that again, because I'm one of those people that thing really tempts me, and it goes against what my goal. And then I started with the lowest balances to the biggest balances.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're debt free except for two things. We have a mortgage and we have a car loan, and then we use exactly what you said about mm-hmm. racking up points during the month. We use a Marriott card because that's a motivator to me. Yes, and you know I'm getting points for to vacation, but then my other motivator is to pay it off each month and look at my score on Credit Karma and see I'm back at 800.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep Best Buy open for emergencies, like because I can't do my job without a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, 2 months ago, my computer broke out of nowhere, and I literally had to walk in the door. And they'll give you 2 years free finance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and, so much to unpack there with Jane. Wow, Jane, congratulations, first of all. Beverly, where can we start with some of the things that she said, some of her tips?
Okay. All right, Jane, first, I have to congratulate you. I am very impressed. I really am. Not a lot of people can say that. And I love the way you've just methodically gone about this and empowered yourself with knowledge and got there. That's awesome. Now, it sounds like when you were paying down balances, you were using what's called the snowball method, where you start with the smallest balance and go up to the highest. And that's perfectly fine. You pay more interest that way. But what I like about the snowball is you get that excitement that you paid off an account pretty quickly, okay? And I think that's very important. Some people prefer the avalanche, where you start with the highest APR and go down. You save more money that way, but you don't get that quick, you know, this is awesome feeling that you're paying down your credit card. So I think that that's, you know, whatever works is the strategy you should be using, and you obviously found something that worked for you. In terms of closing some of the credit cards you've talked about, you know, and we've talked about closing cards just a little bit, but if you're going to close a card, the retail cards are probably the best ones because typically they don't have huge credit limits, so it, you know, doesn't have as much impact on your utilization ratio. So that was a smart decision in terms of trying to preserve your score, yet not have the temptation of all those cards open. Now, in terms of getting the your computer and using the Best Buy card, and you know, I applaud the fact that you recognize you need something for emergencies, because the emergencies are sometimes the thing that can just wreck our cash flow for months or maybe even a year if we're not prepared. For an emergency, I prefer just a regular credit card that has a very low APR, and with your score, you could get a credit card that probably has an APR less than 10%. So that might be something to think about in the future when that happens.
And she said she can freeze. You can freeze your credit.
Yes, you can freeze your credit.
How do you do that?
You contact the credit bureaus. The FTC has a great website that will take you through every step of freezing your credit. And what I also like about what Jane said is she knows herself. Jane, you know yourself, and that is awesome. You know, that would be tempting if you hadn't done that. And now you've got an 800 score, so I applaud that part too. You know, you have to customize your approach to credit sometimes. You know, if you know yourself and you know you're going to spend when you shouldn't, then you have to put the brakes on things. And that's what Jane did, so I think that's great.
We're talking with credit card expert Beverly Harzog on this edition of On Your Money. Beverly is the author of The Debt Escape Plan. You can join in the discussion, 800-642-1234. Are you tempted by that offer for a new credit card with perhaps an interest-free grace period? 0% interest. Is that too good to be true? Join in this discussion about credit card debt. 800-642-1234. You can post your thoughts on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll be back after this short break here on the Ideas Network.
So I went down to my favorite store, picked out three or four shirts or more, a pair of pants and a striped tie, and the man came by and said, "Yes, sir, cash or charge?" I said,
"Credit card debt, yes. In the U.S., it's just over $8,000 per household. That's according to the Federal Reserve. U.S. consumers are on track to have more than $1 trillion in credit card debt by the end of the year. We're discussing credit cards and how to use them wisely on this edition of On Your Money. I'm Kate Archer Kent, in for Joy Cardine. Financial planner Kevin McKinley is off this week. We'll be back next week. And Beverly Harzog is our guest. She's a credit card expert. She's a debt coach and author of The Debt Escape. What questions do you have for Beverly about credit cards? What tips can you teach us about how to use credit? Join in 800-642-1234 or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's now go to John in Waukesha. Hi, John.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good.
So I didn't really hear this earlier, but both my wife and I are in the 800s in our credit score. I recently bought a car in January, and my credit score was 856 or something like that. So pretty proud of that. But about a year and a half ago, we had some fraud on one of our credit cards, and so we closed that card. And we have been paying for about a year and a half now for a monitoring service through Equifax.
Mm-hmm.
And we are thinking about getting rid of that, but we want to be able to still freeze our credit report if we want to. And is there a cost to that if we don't have this service, or can any citizen just do that?
Yeah, that is a great question, John, because a lot of these monitoring services, that they really get promoted when there's been a big breach somewhere. And, you could kind of monitor this yourself. I personally don't use it. I check my account every single day, okay? I check all my bank accounts, checking account, credit card accounts for sure, so that I can see, if I can check for fraudulent purchases every day and just catch it as soon as it happens. So you can do that yourself. Now, the monitoring service is a good idea for somebody that doesn't do that, that this doesn't check on their own every day, or doesn't, maybe for some reason you feel like that's just not something you want to do. The monitoring service is fine, but you can save that money and do it yourself by being very, very, diligent. You can put all kinds of controls on your credit card about purchases. You get purchase alerts if something's over, say $100 or something like that. But you can just monitor this online yourself. And you also have to be careful, though, to check your credit reports, because new fraud will show up on your credit report, but not not on a current credit card. You're just going to see new purchases that you didn't make. So, what I do with my credit reports, I get one every 3 months to kind of spread out, my overview of how my credit is doing. And I always check for, fraud, new accounts. And, it's a real hassle when that happens to you. So it's not perfect doing it on your own, but it will save you some money if you're willing to check every day.
And the website for free credit reports is?
AnnualCreditReport.com.
Okay. Chip technology, wasn't that supposed to be kind of the saving grace for these data breaches to protect consumers?
Yes, Kate, they were kind of, promoted that way. And let me tell you, I like the chip cards. With the magnetic stripe, it was so easy for, a thief to clone the cards, okay? With the chip, if they get information online, it's not very valuable, because when you use a chip, there's a code for, a one-time code for each purchase, and they can't get that information and then use it. They can't duplicate it. So that's how the chip protects you. But now we're seeing fraud go online because it's basically impossible for thieves to clone these cards by getting information, account numbers, and cloning them. You can't really do that with a chip card. So thieves go where, the easiest place is, and it's now online. So, it's just very, very important that when you're purchasing something online, make sure you're on a secure website. I mentioned with the last caller to check your accounts online. Because as we've seen, even if you're on a secure site, a hacker might be able to, break through. But you can protect yourself by checking your accounts online. And earlier in the program, I mentioned, don't use your debit card online. Even if you have a bank that, says they're going to, protect you 100%, you could lose your cash anywhere from a week to 2 weeks or maybe even more before you get it back. And for some who live, you know, paycheck to paycheck, that's a disaster. So always use a credit card online so that you've got fraud protection just in case.
Hmm. John, thanks for calling in. Kudos on your credit score. Let's now go to Bailey's Harbor and Susie. Hi.
I'm here to work.
Oh, hello, Susie. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm 75 years old. My husband passed away 16 years ago. I don't carry any debt on my credit card unless I can pay it at the end of the month. So I never carry a balance. It is an Advantage card, and it gives me miles, which I used to use when I was younger and traveled. It's $50 a year. And my question is, and I have a $15,000 credit availability, which I would never charge in a credit card, but will I lose my credibility on my scores if I drop that card and go for one that does not have a yearly payment?
Okay, Susie, that is a great question. $15,000 credit limit. Congrats on that. By the way, sounds like you've got a great score. And I love the way you say you don't carry debt, no balance. That's awesome. Before you close that card, and I see that you have a reason because there's an annual fee and you're not using it, before you close it, if there's, you know, if you've got rewards on that card, try to use them before you close it so you don't, you know, lose out on that. But what I suggest is if there's a card that's better suited for you, apply for a new card, get that card in place before you cancel the Advantage card, and that will kind of, and I suspect you'll probably get another high credit limit. So that will kind of cancel out the impact on your score. It might fluctuate for a couple of months, but it should even it out over time.
Well, Susie, thanks so much for calling in. And now let's go to Brian in Fond du Lac. Hi, Brian.
Hi. I have a situation where a couple of years ago, my mother died, and she had a number of credit cards. I was able to cancel, like, the bank ones. Those are pretty easy to cancel. I've had trouble canceling the department store or the retail ones. Sometimes what happens, I'll call, explain the situation, and instead of canceling it, they have actually issued new cards in her name.
Oh.
So I'm trying to get this to stop. And my other question is, what happens if somebody actually gets a hold of one of these cards and tries to use it from a deceased person?
Yeah, Brian, well, first, I'm sorry about your mom. Yeah, it's so difficult when someone passes away and you have to take care of their finances. In terms of the retail card, in them issuing a new card, that's almost unbelievable, really. That just makes no sense. They, you know, have you tried calling back and talking with a supervisor and explaining the situation, see if that helps? You can also turn to the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They're there to help you with situations just like this. Now, if someone opens an account in your mom's name, that's not going to impact you personally because it's not your credit history. That's certainly, you know, something that you don't want to have happen. But I would just focus right now on getting that retail card closed and take some steps. You know, call back, talk to the manager. If they don't, if you feel like they're not understanding what you're requesting, speak to their manager. Keep going up the ladder until you get some satisfaction on that. And just stick with it. If, you know, if you find that they're just not working with you or they don't seem to have procedures in place to handle this, contact the CFPB.
Well, Brian, thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate it. Judy now in Franklin. Hi, Judy.
Hi. My question is a little odd. Within a matter of 30 to 40 days, I purchased some new carpeting for my home, and I also purchased a new bed. I first got one card from the carpet place, and then I got another card from the bed place me to be able to purchase something in the future. Well, I have no intention of doing either one. What am I supposed to do with these things?
Did they ask you at the register if you wanted these cards, or did you? Are you not sure how you got the cards?
I am not sure if in doing the signing it was one of those little fine line things that I didn't notice, but that's, I did not ask for any of it.
Okay, all right. And, you know, this is one of the things that annoys me the most about how some of these cards operate. You know, they somehow get you to get this card and you don't even know you've gotten it because, you know, nobody can stand there and read all the fine print, especially if it's tiny, tiny, tiny. So I'm sorry this happened to you, but what I would do is I would call the card issuers and just ask to close these cards, okay, because, you know, it shouldn't impact your score too much because you just got them and you didn't even ask for them.
Right.
Could make it fluctuate for a couple of months, but, you know, the main thing is if you're not going to use these cards, go ahead and close them and just call the issuer. And you might also tell them that, you know, that you didn't actually apply for these cards. You're not sure how you got them. Feedback like that, you know, I always encourage that, you know, just in case somebody starts listening and they get a little more transparent.
Well, let's thank you so much, Judy. Let's take one more quick call. Greg in Eau Claire. Hi, Greg.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay. I have a credit card that's got like a $2,500, or I have $2,500 on it, and it has a minimum payment of $50 or around there. But I'm making one payment twice a month for $75. Does that help bring it down faster and the credit score?
Yeah, you know, you're using a very good strategy here. One other step you can take to improve your score is to call the card issuer and ask when they report your history to the bureaus. And you can kind of strategically make payments right before they do that, so the balance that's reported is even lower. So that's just something else you could, that's an extra step you could do, but I applaud what you're doing here. You know, the worst thing you possibly could have done would be just pay the minimum $50. So good for you. Give it a little bit of time and you're going to be seeing your score go up as that balance goes down.
Greg, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Jeremy emails and says, all the great advice in the world won't do a bit of good unless you are disciplined to do it. Mm-hmm. People need to stop buying things they can't afford, including a bigger house, and put in place restrictions. He says, cash money in an envelope is a great idea. Beverly, quickly, as we go out here, what would you say to Jeremy?
To Jeremy, I say, if this method is working for you, congratulations. Okay. I mentioned earlier that, you know, a custom approach is really needed. If you need to do the cash money envelope system, that's great, whatever is working for you. If you've got a lot of control and you understand how credit cards work and you've got self-discipline, and he's right about that, you have to have self-discipline, pay your bills on time in full every month, you know, you can really benefit from doing that. The only problem with the cash money envelope method is that you're not really building your credit score that way. So if he's got a mortgage or other ways that he's building his score, that's fine. But, you know, whatever works for you is the right answer.
And we'll leave it there. Beverly, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Beverly Harzog is a credit card expert. She's a consumer advocate, a debt coach, a speaker, and author of the book, The Debt Escape Plan, How to Free Yourself from Credit Card Balances, Boost Your Credit Score, and Live Debt-Free. Financial planner Kevin McKinley is back next week for next week's edition of On Your Money. This hour of the Joy Cardine Show was produced by Chris Molina and Bill Martins. Michelle Johnson is our executive producer. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.